Hello, and welcome to the GameSlave Podcast, episode 115. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, we're going to talk a little bit about Denver Comic Con.
At least what I didn't manage to yammer out last time because I thought I forgot stuff.
An escape from the heat. Don't mind the noise.
And I haven't had a chance to listen to our last week's podcast, so I got no idea.
That's fine. That means you have fresh questions to ask me, which I, you know, it actually gives us some banter, some two-way conversation. It's very hard to make a long podcast when you're just talking to yourself. I'm not crazy enough for that yet.
Don't have the multiple personalities to carry on a conversation.
We'll buy you a couple more cats.
Oh yeah, that's going to work real well with the German Shepherd.
Like 10 cats.
Yeah.
They'll gang up on the Shepherd.
No, I'm good.
Or you can just take our cat. He don't care. He takes no sass from any dog. But he doesn't like toddlers, so...
He runs from toddlers?
Yes. When they can walk, he's afraid. When they can't, he finds them curious.
It's like, you're curious. Oh, crap, he's coming near me! Coming near me!
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help the toddler's going, you know, grabby hands towards the cat. The cat's like, that is not how you pet me.
Well, no, he's petting you to consist of...
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Pet hit, sort of.
I don't fault the cat for not liking that.
No.
Anywho, so... Let's jump into it. So, I think I said last week, Denver Comic Con happened at the Denver Convention Center, or Colorado Convention Center. Took up a good chunk of it, actually. Probably about, you know, half the convention center. They're expanding next year, and they've already got Stan Lee confirmed. So, it's growing nicely.
Well, I heard there's already over 20,000 people.
They ran out of pre-printed programs on the second day. No. It was they ran out on Sunday, but they only had about 100, because I was talking to one of the security guards behind the ticket desk, and he was telling me it was just insane on Saturday.
I think it went over much, I guess, better than maybe what people thought. It's like, well, there's nothing. Either you have to go to the West Coast or the East Coast. Having something that's kind of...
Or Texas.
Yeah, sort of Midwestern is kind of nice.
There's nothing within, like, two states that you can do in Colorado. I mean, we have NDK once a year, but... IndieK is a lot different than this sort of convention.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I've actually gotten to go to a convention that's not IndieK or E3, because those are typically, those conventions are, I'm going to consider panel heavy. Their big things are the panels, not so much the dealer's room and the artist alley. Whereas this convention, its big thing is the dealer's room and artist alley and everything, because that's what the majority of the space was.
People went to trade their wares to you. And people dropping thousands of dollars, which I don't have.
So close to buying something from T.K. Miller.
I don't know what that is.
He's a sculptor. He had this really cool zombie woman. I'll post a link to it in the show notes.
Okay.
But, yeah, there was lots of cool stuff. I actually ended up buying a book there from a author, Brian Young, called Lost at the Con, which I actually just finished reading it the other night. Yeah. And basically what it is the main character, Cobb, is a political writer. And he's working for this online, he calls it a complete rag, called Titan. And they send him to cover Griffin Con in Atlanta, which is basically Dragon Con. He hasn't done anything science fiction or geeky since he was in ninth grade, and now he's 40. So he's completely out of his element here. And the book is basically about him having to deal with the trials and tribulations of going to such a big science fiction and fantasy convention when he, you know, would much rather be seeing, you know, what's happening in Washington. It actually was a rather interesting read. It had some parts where I just kind of slapped my forehead and like, oh my god, are you serious? And other parts that I just laughed, and other parts I'm like, good for you, man! So, I highly advise reading it. You can either get it from Amazon, or if you have an Audible account, you can also get it from there. And the artist also said if you make it your first purchase, the Audible gives him a little kickback. Or the author said if you give him, he gets a little kickback if it's your first book you choose from Audible.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Do you ever listen to Podcastle or Escape Pod?
Okay, that's why.
They mention it a lot.
Yeah, as do some other podcasts and such, yeah. But basically, Audible is like the biggest online seller of audiobooks.
Not that. The guy who made it.
Brian Young?
Yes.
He also writes for the Huffington Post.
Maybe I've read an article of his before.
It's possible.
Anywho, so, it was a really good book, and now that I'm done with it, I can move to some of the comics that I actually bought. I read the book, the actual book, before I read the comic, so I was proud of myself.
Go, go.
Truly, you are an adult now.
Actually, I came to that realization at Best Buy when buying a fridge instead of the DSLR camera I wanted.
Well, that just means you like food rather than pictures.
It means I'm tired of my fridge leaking. And I want a working ice maker again.
I think one of our friends might have still bought the DSLR before the fridge. Martin?
Oh, yeah. He's upgrading. Selling off his old Nikon for a new one.
Let's see. Brian Young began producing political documentaries with 2005's award-winning critical acclaim to The Divided State, which documented the furor over free speech in a small conservative community in Utah in the weeks leading to the speaking engagement by filmmaker Michael Moore. The New York Times called This Divided State Filmmaking Gold. He's co-written and co-directed with Eliza Pate a documentary film about guerrilla marketing during the 2004 Sundance Film Festival, two feature-length films, and they also co-script a comic book. His latest film, which is wrote and produced Killer at Large, a dissection of the American obesity epidemic, is available on DVD nationwide. He writes about film and comic books as the editor of Big Shiny Robot and is the author of Lots of the Con and Man Against the Future.
Okay.
So that's a little history about Brian Young. Let's see.
So did you see half of my former school represented in the artist alley?
I don't know who all your school people was, but I did finally meet the infamous Nami.
Yes, she mentioned that. She said someone referred to me as the infamous Nami. They were like,
and she's like, what this? What was it? You guys? That was my first thought. I'm like, oh, the simulator must have finally mattered. After all our talk.
So, yeah. And I finally introduced Care Bear to Angie Chan, so she's no longer just a myth to Angie.
I'm surprised they never ran into each other at NDK.
Oh, she has. She just doesn't. I don't think she remembers.
Okay. That was before, you know, we started hanging out in a social aspect. Let's see.
But you also probably meant Kit if she was there.
Probably.
There's three of them at the table.
Yep, then I met Kit. Because Kit was sitting next to Nami, who was sitting next, and then Angie was on the other side, so Kit was in the middle.
They're my artist geeks.
Lots of awesome costumes. There was two R2 units. One actually painted, and one was just silver. Lots of people dressed up, I'm going to assume as mostly Sith, since they were mostly in black robes. Couple of Jedi, but mostly Sith. Nobody likes being the good guys. And then, let's see.
Well, let's be honest, you know, if you're dressed as a Jedi, you might be mistaken for, you know, like, Arthur Dent.
True. And so, then let's see. They had from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right?
Yes.
But that's a bathrobe. I would hope people could tell the difference between a bathrobe and Jedi
robe.
Well, robes.
That depends. If you bought the Think Geek Jedi bathrobe.
I will just cross genres then.
It was kind of cool. They actually had a TARDIS in the back corner near the merchandise booth. So there was one period where there were two doctors fighting a robot on the outside, in the TARDIS, shooting a robot with their sonic screwdrivers. It was interesting to see. They did have a lot of cool guests. Unfortunately, they didn't get to see too many of the panels. One of my coworkers, though, has gotten the habit of, when he sees somebody famous, he says, "Oh my god, do you know who you are?" Well, he did that to Colin Ferguson. And his response was, "No! Who am I?"
I guess it's a way to elicit a response.
It's entertaining. I like some of the guidelines for celebrities they had in the Comic-Con pamphlet, such as, you know, treat them as people. They are still people.
They are not gods.
And don't stalk them or be creepy.
Well, I was like, don't pretend you're a journalist if you aren't when you're talking to the celebrities. Just, you know, talk to them as a person.
Hi, celebrity. I like your work. Thumbs up.
It's awesome that they actually did have a relatively good turnout on the celebrities. There were, unfortunately, some empty tables that people obviously paid for and then didn't show up to use. And one thing I did notice, and it makes a lot of sense, about 90% of the people when we checked out were using their iPhones or Androids and the Square app in order to do credit cards instead of paying for the hotel network fees. And if you don't know what the Square app is, basically it's an app on your app when you it's a free to sign up for When you sign up in the mail, they send you this little device that goes into your headphone jacks.
Oh yeah, it's basically a little point of sale app, basically.
Exactly. And it's actually cheaper. It's actually one of the cheaper forms to accept credit cards right now, too, especially if you're just a small company where you can't get those great deals.
Yeah, it's on the order of like 2 or somewhere between 2 and 5%, I thought.
For it depends on how you enter it. If you swipe it, it's less. If you type it in, it costs more.
So don't forget your swiper at home, I guess.
Correct. And if you type it in and you don't have the CVC code, it costs more than having the CVC code. Basically, it's the more insecure the method is, the more they charge you because they have to risk a chance of it being a
fraud.
Exactly. So it was great for all the comic people there. Apparently, styluses were in short regard there because either they had them or they got stolen.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, I know, it was ridiculous. Or people didn't know that there was any sort of styluses that worked with iPhones.
Well, the ones that do, aren't they a bit expensive?
Nah, I got mine for free by the E3. Oh, well. Just has, like, this little nub on the front of it that seems to conduct with the screen.
Yeah. I did hear of a company that was making gloves for smartphones.
Uh-huh.
They're marketed mainly towards journalists in, like, D.C. covering the presidential inauguration a couple years ago.
Well, it's freaking cold there, and you can't use your touch
screens I'm just imagining these journalists, like, you know, taking pictures with their smartphone now. It's like, seriously, guys?
They're probably more typing everything in and then sending it off to get posted on the site as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But, actually, all you have to do to make those gloves is take some really thin wire string, sew it into the finger of your glove, and then it'll work just as well.
Yeah.
Wow, we got a little off topic. So, do you guys have any questions about Comic-Con since personal matters kept you from attending.
Well, who did? Did you run into anybody?
I didn't run into anybody personally.
Okay.
Did see some really awesome furniture from Geek Chic, though. It's all geek furniture. It's like their tables look like regular dining tables or coffee tables, and the tops lift off, and there's a game board with a white erase or dry erase thing there that lifts off. And then, like, you can put different drawers in them. Like, you can put in a deluxe DM drawer that has wings and...
And this is why these tables cost $2,000.
They're worth it, though. Ethical is like, this isn't just a gaming table. It's investment furniture.
That's all you invest
in. Investment implies resale value.
Yeah, these things probably could resell. One of the ones I liked was a coffee table that had a second level, kind of like your guys' does here. Only the second level lifts up so you can store controllers and remotes in it.
That would just be good to hide things.
And then they all have what's called a utility rail, where you can get different accessories put there, like a wine glass holder or a generic cup holder. These are for adults. I mean, obviously, it's a $5,000 table. It has to be for an adult.
Because that's the thing.
And they're custom-made. Geekdom
is one of those hobbies that can get expensive depending on where you go into. And so when you're younger, you have to scrounge a lot, you get stuff, and that's where most of your expendable cash goes. And you get older, and you can afford these nicer toys, but when you want to get rid of it, who do you sell it to? Because you're going to have to find another adult who can afford it, because, man, 20, people in their late early 20s, they can't afford that.
In the case of Geek Chic, it does take 6 months or so to get something made, because it's custom made.
Holy cow.
So, it might be easy to resell that. Especially if people don't want to wait that long. Anywho. And the fact that they used the Hyatt in conjunction for the stuff that didn't happen at the convention center kind of gave it that nice, it's like, okay, so you have the hotel filling here with this stuff, but then you actually have the actual convention center. Which I think is something NDK could do, because remember they were wondering, it's like, do we want to move into the actual convention center aspect, or do we want to keep that feeling of the hotel convention? They could do both. And heck, the Comic-Con got better deals at the Hyatt than I think we might get at the Marriott. It was $99 a night to stay at the Hyatt.
That's pretty good.
Might have a bit more purchasing power with... Though, attendance at Comic-Con was about the same as NDK last year, so...
Just saying.
Well, they'll have to get to that discussion once their contract gets closer to running out.
Alright.
I don't know, I don't know why. I just like, yay, Comic-Con! Why did I not really want to go too badly? I don't know.
Maybe next year. Everything else going on right now.
Yeah.
I think that was it. Maybe next year, if we're ambitious enough, we'll actually get our own table there. Publicize the site.
I just don't know what you do. You know, like artists, it makes sense. You know, you're like, I do art.
There were people actually podcasting from the floor at their tables. There was actually a wall of podcasters. Provided there was only three of them, but they had their own section. So, yeah. One guy was just a podcaster. I don't remember what exactly they did. Another guy I actually talked to, their main thing is action figures and, like, rope and, like, Transformers. Anywho, I'm gonna go ahead and move on from Comic-Con then, since it seems like we're tapped out. The game I've been playing recently came out on Thursday, oddly enough. Quantum Conundrum. And I spoke about it shortly after I got back from E3, where it's the game where you shift between dimensions. And it is actually a rather entertaining game. It's supposed to be rather short, which I can't fault it, since it's only, you know, $15. Unfortunately, I've had a hard time playing it for long stints of time, because the heat just makes me feel sick when I'm playing first-person games. And since we've had 100-degree heats, it's hard to sit down for long periods of time.
You have central air.
Heat rises and my computer's upstairs.
You should move it downstairs.
There's no room downstairs.
Just for the summer. Please move it back up.
Anywho, so far it's entertaining. Your uncle, despite being an absolute genius, seems like an idiot.
He can be intelligent but not have common sense smarts.
I think that's this guy. It's like, I have no clue where I am. What's with this with the mountain of cell phones? Is this lint? It's like he's in a land where everything lost goes, is my guess so far. But it is the puzzles are entertaining. I guess you could consider it puzzle platformer. Because, you know, the puzzle element doesn't seem too difficult, at least not yet. But a lot of it is platforming, like using fluffy dimension to throw a safe, then changing to slow time dimension so you can jump on the safe, and then ride the safe over a chasm. And then jump off it before you get to the thing so you don't fall into the chasm with the safe.
It's the game my bro recommended to me from E3. He's like, you would like this game. Because you like those sort of puzzly games. I'm like, thanks.
And all the portraits change on the walls change depending on what the dimension you're in. For example, there's this one of this guy called Ike, which is just this little fluffy creature holding a balloon. In fluffy dimension, he is the balloon. In heavy dimension, the balloon is a steel balloon and falls on his head. I don't know what the other two are. Your uncle doesn't think highly of you in this game either. It's like I'm doing one puzzle, he's like, I don't think you possess the mental capacity to solve this puzzle. You solve it, he's like, well, that was a present surprise. And really, I just want to call the guy a sadistic bastard with how his house is designed. He's like, really? This is how your house is designed?
He's eclectic, apparently. But you gotta, you have to make it, you know, suspension of disbelief, because it's a game. A game world doesn't work exactly like real world.
True. I still consider the guy a nutcase. And he can apparently talk to you and see you, but you can't see him at all. Anywhere the heck he is. Which, according to him, has no cell phone signal, because despite all the cell phones, he couldn't stream a movie. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying the game. I'm looking forward to getting through it. And yeah, that's about all I can think of right now.
I did see, for those interested, there's a sale on Amazon right now, $10 for both Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2.
Nice. Downloadable copy, yeah. I'm going to assume. It's a nice sale.
That is. I'm thinking of picking it up, even though I have no computer yet to play it on.
But when you do, you'll have only paid $10.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we've done is we just gotta watch the season finale of Korra. Because we don't have cable, of course, and they haven't posted it online yet. But things are going to go down if last episode is any indication.
So good.
Won't spoil anything, because I'm guessing.
I appreciate it. I need to watch stuff still.
Well, they have all the episodes back up online now, because for a while, they actually were kind of going through and taking off, like, the earlier episode to put the new one, so there was only, like, 6 videos available.
Last time we checked.
Yeah, they basically put it up saying, watch all the videos before you see the season finale next week, and so they put them all back up.
Okay, I'll have to take time to do that.
I have only 2 words, though. Fart bending.
Is that airbending somebody's fart?
well, one's own, usually. Do you remember A Special Kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary. And awesome.
But hey, it's all about being inventive with the use of your bending. They always say how it'd be interesting to do an airbender RPG game where the only rule is you can't be the avatar. So, you know, you just have a series of other benders that use their bending in conjunction to do interesting and strange things. Like fire and earth benders moving lava.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a great series. Everyone should be watching this. I'm going to watch, you know, Avatar again.
At least it's streaming on Netflix. Thanks, Netflix.
Alright, so you guys have anything else you want to go over?
Nope, the only other thing I've been doing is reading The Hunger Games, which I guess is a little bit geeky. I'm halfway through the first book. I don't know how I feel yet still about it.
I finished reading my speculative, ahistoric, time-traveling...
fiction?
Political fiction. The book is called Taft 2012.
Okay.
It's basically, you know, William Howard Taft, former president of the U.S., fat guy.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. He disappears the day before the inauguration of William McKinley, his successor, and then reappears in last November.
Okay.
And then gets kind of shoved into running for president again.
So he only ran for one term the first time, if I remember?
He ran for a second term. He lost because Teddy Roosevelt basically ran as a third party candidate against Taft, who was the Republican, and basically split their party vote. And so that's why McKinley
got you.
Won the election.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was great. It was great fun. Mostly like little bits where, you know, Taft is asking, "Who is this Dr. Google and how does he know everything?"
That's pretty entertaining. Alright, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up there. So if you want to go ahead and check us out at thegameslave.com, you can find all our articles, our store, our relatively empty forum, and if you have questions or comments or random rants and complaints, you can go ahead and send those over to mail@thegameslave.com. In the meantime, you all have a great day and week. Game on!
Game on!
Game on!